day makes, and in this case, oh, what a difference a year makes. At this time last year, we had most of the oil companies on the way out of the state. And the legislature at that time, I think, went a long ways toward reversing the oil companies leaving and taking their investment dollars with them. And I think this bill is a follow-up on that. And I think that there is a time when we need to commend the governor. And it is at this time I commend this governor for bringing this bill forward. I didn't see fit to commend the last governor for his approach to the oil companies. As a matter of fact, it was just the opposite. But, Madam Speaker, I think the one thing we must look at when we talk about long-term versus short-term gains and how it relates to the oil industry in our state and whether or not we keep barrels of oil flowing through that pipeline, whether or not it is both our short-term and our long-term best interest. I believe that, if memory serves me correctly, that the Pipeline Enabling Act says that when the number of barrels of oil dropped to 600,000 a day going through the pipeline, and I may not be correct on that figure, that pipeline must be dismantled. If we aren't able to keep these fields producing, and if they're not economically viable to produce under the laws that we have today, then we certainly better look to a different way of doing business to make them economically viable. Madam Speaker, we have reached a point where we have a downturn in our treasury, and we all know that that is due to the loss of production and the loss of dollars per barrel, in some instances, of gas going through the pipeline. I think for the long-term interest of our state that we cannot afford to have a continual decline in the oil export of jobs, and that's what it means. When we have just beyond our border, Russia, with all the minerals that we have and much more of them, when we have other places in the world competing for those development dollars, we have to look to a new way to do business. We have to be as good or better at the way we do business than the other nations that compete for those dollars. We do have an advantage. The advantage is that we have a pipeline built. We have a marketing system. But on the other side of the border, they have none of the environmental regulations or constraints that we have. And they have a much more less stable government than we do. So those are things in our favor. But having said all of those things are in our favor, we better also look to make sure that every piece of legislation we pass will enhance the reason why companies want to do business in our state, particularly at this point in our history. Again, I'm pleased to rise in support of this bill, and I commend this present sitting governor for taking this action, because I've seen many of them come and go. Quite a number come and go. And not many of them have brought development legislation to the floor. I commend him.
Further debate? Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, I too would like to join in commending the governor for bringing this legislation forward. I think that it does take a step in the right direction, and I think I'll probably end up voting for it. I wish that I could be a little more enthusiastic about it, and I would if one or two others of the amendments that we had proposed had been adopted. But I do think I certainly have a lot of faith that this current administration will look carefully at any proposal and will evaluate them, and I believe that it certainly will be in the long-term interest of the state. So I don't have any concerns in that regard in the short run, and so I think that the major purpose of the bill will be accomplished within the next 4 years, which is to send a signal to the oil industry that Alaska is indeed open for business, and that we want to encourage them to continue to operate here. But I think that, having said that we also need to be mindful of what the realities of the situation are up there on the North Slope, and I think we need to look seriously at the forecast that we have in front of us and understand the history of the forecast, which has been that in general the forecasts have understated the amount of oil that's available, And I believe that the cutoff number that the previous speaker was talking to is 300 thousand barrels of oil. And that cutoff number, I don't, you know, under the current production, is not likely to be reached until beyond the year 2010. And that's under the current forecast. And every single forecast we've had, as I said, have been understated. So I believe that it's going to be sometime well into 2010, 2020, in that period, before we even get close to this situation where we have to worry about actually shutting down the pipeline. Now, that's not to say that maybe there aren't economic arguments that say that we should offer some royalty reductions, and I believe that there might well be. But it's just to say that when we do that, there's a very strong fiduciary responsibility that the state of Alaska has to look very closely at whatever the proposals are, because it's clear that the oil industry, in making their proposals, will be looking at the oil industry's bottom line. And it's not always the case that the oil industry's bottom line is identical with the best interest of the state of Alaska. Now, oftentimes they do coincide, and that's a happy circumstance when that is the case. But it's not always the case, and so that the administration has a very heavy responsibility in taking this statutory authority on to make sure that the other side is equally well represented at the table, and that is the side of the people of the state of Alaska. So I trust that will be the case, and it's with that trust in mind that I'll vote for the bill. Thank you.
Further debate? Are you ready, Representative Kabina?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just briefly, I just wanted to say that this bill has always scared me a bit, because obviously this is where our wealth comes from. I mean, this is it. If we had an income tax or a sales tax, or where people accepted us spending reserves of the permanent fund or something, I guess I'd feel a lot easier. But I guess there's a saying that sometimes you have to spend money to make money, and I'm trying to look at it that way, that by us, if we do give breaks to the on the royalty, it's like the state of Alaska contributing to maintaining those fields, because we're giving money back. And so maybe we do have to spend money to make money sometimes. Commissioner of Natural Resources believes, at least he told me, he believes in the long run we'll actually make more money this way. So I'm going to take his word for that. I know he's a good man and is going to try to do it. And so therefore, I will vote for this bill.
Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In light of all the discussion we've had, I'd just like to associate myself with all the good things everybody said and disassociate myself from all the bad things everyone said.
Representative Bryce.
I would like to associate myself with those remarks.
Is that enough?
No. The speaker from Valdez brought up brought up the old adage that you got to spend money to make money. I don't even think that's so much the case in point with this piece of legislation. I think it's more or less the question of half a loaf is better than no loaf. And without this legislation, we ain't getting no loaf. With this legislation, we can at least get a half a loaf. Not only that, but we're creating jobs. We're keeping people on the long-term production facilities the oil industry produces through these more marginal fields, whose lifetime tend to stretch out for quite a while and can continue to develop and stretch out as the technologies advance and everything else. So I see it more or less as a question of Madam Speaker, at least now we got at least another half a loaf coming into the state treasury, and that half a loaf represents jobs. It represents education funding. It represents keeping hungry children fed, and I think it's a positive step that we need to be taking in these days.
Representative Green.
Madam Speaker, thank you. I would like to disassociate myself along with all the other hard workers in here from the loafing legislators.
I think we're ready for the question.
Question.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I continue to have reservations about some of the aspects of this bill. I would like you to think about the competitive sale process that we have now. And what is lost by the changes, or what is potentially lost by the changes that would be enacted in this bill? Madam Speaker, when we sell an oil lease with a fixed term and a fixed royalty, the company knows at the time that they purchase that lease from the state, and it's a contract with the state, and they have contractual obligations to explore and develop under it, they're expecting, well, they have to guess about what the future is going to hold, and maybe the future really does change after they buy the contract. But at some point, the lease expires if the oil is not discovered or brought into production. And in that case, the state retains ownership and has the option of selling the lease again. Now, if we embark on a policy that says anytime a company does not find it in their interest to develop and begin giving away the state's share of ownership in the oil, what are we ultimately doing? The concern that I have is that we're going to give away more than is necessary to get these fields into production. The oil companies that are working on the North Slope and in other parts of our state are situated differently in terms of their ownership interest in the pipeline, in terms of the infrastructure that they may have nearby, in terms of the amount of capital that their company may have available for investment. And in other respects, they are not like a monolith so that you could say what is economic for one is automatically going to be economic for all of them. And, Madam Speaker, I just continue to wonder how this is going to work out when one of the things that, one premise that we have in the public management of these resources is that we're supposed to treat all the companies even-handedly. As much as possible, we're supposed to have a policy that applies to everyone, not just a special deal for this one or a special deal for that one. So where before we had a structured process that was and our interest was protected by a competitive sale that let all comers come and bid and the companies with the resources to put into it win the bid and go forward to try to develop, now we're going to be in a situation of asking the commissioner to try to apply this negotiating strategy of reductions in an even-handed manner. So what are we going to say after it's been done for one? How will it be able to be denied to others? That's a concern that I have. Another concern that I have is the what I perceive to be a concentration of power in a single official far beyond what exists today. And people say, well, we have this law already and it allows this. Yes, it's true. We do have a law that allows it, but as has been pointed out, it hasn't been used very much, and it does have pretty stringent safeguards and findings and things that have to be accomplished before royalty reductions could be granted. And those things are being removed from the law. So we're leaving a pretty open-ended situation and asking the commissioner to meet the best interests of the state, which might include trading off long-term economic gain just to get something going sooner, just to get something going sooner, not necessarily to maximize the value of the people's resources. It is true that the projections of oil have changed quite a bit over the years. And in fact, the forecast that has just been released is up significantly just since last fall as the future is projected. As we look in the time frame 1995 to the year 2010, it's up 750 million barrels since the fall forecast. There is a great deal of uncertainty about the future. And it's going to be very interesting to see how the department and the commissioner are able to project those things and come up with some kind of formula or other mechanism that will work to protect the state's interest. I sincerely hope that it's possible to do that, but I would also note, Madam Speaker, that the state's interests are the staff available to the commissioner, notwithstanding the fact that there's going to be a consultant. The staff available to the commissioner are a tiny fraction of the resources available to any one of these companies. And it's not entirely clear that the companies will always come forward with everything that they know or suspect or project about the future. They're going to obviously, I believe, be putting forth what they think is in their economic interest. And they're going to make the best case that they can for what they want, which seems to me to be, you know, they want us to share in the risk of developing marginal properties. Well, is this partnership meaning we take the risk and they take the profit? Is that what we mean by partnership? Madam Speaker, I fear that the state will not have the resources that are necessary to investigate and fully understand what the trade-offs are and what's being given away. I also have a concern that this bill applies to the large block leasing licenses. And you'll recall that last year we passed that, making major changes and having very large areas being maintained. These are held merely with a work commitment. If the work commitment is satisfied, then they get converted to a lease. It's possible that the royalties could be reduced in that same action, even though last year we took out the existing floor because we of 5% because we didn't want any reduction in the large block leasing. And I think that is another potential area for loss to the state that we really have not thoroughly examined. So, Madam Speaker, I guess on balance, I'm going to vote no on this because I don't feel we've put enough safeguards in it to be sure that the state's interest is protected, to be sure that the people's interest in these resources, our most valuable public resources, is protected. I recognize it's possible this could turn out all right, but I see a lot to be lost and not enough sideboards around how the commissioner will operate and what standard the commissioner will be trying to achieve. And for those reasons, I can't support this legislation.
Further debate? Representative Roepberg, your wrap-up.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It's distressing to hear the words of the representative from District 15. She's worked very hard on this bill. I understand that. And I appreciate some of the concerns she raised. She raises the one thing that I also share with her is the concern for what's called the integrity of the future bidding process, which it brings about. I think that, and that is to say, what would happen to the bidding process if companies in the future think they can get a reduction. So I think that that is a risk here. But like any new legislation that strikes out on an entire new policy course, there's going to be some inherent risk in it. And I think we have developed sideboards. We have put the collar around the commissioner that we've been trying to do from the moment this bill was introduced by the governor. I think the governor had a good idea, and I think we made it better because we did create some of these sideboards and this collar around the commissioner's ability to make decisions. But we had to leave him enough flexibility to be able to conduct business in a rational manner. So I think we do need to be vigilant, though, about certain of these concerns. There's no question about it. Just briefly, a couple of comments. In terms of the forecast for future oil development here, some of those have been very positive lately. For example, the Cambridge reports that have come down recently cited significant potential proven reserves for the near term and in the future. But if you read the footnotes in that report, they bring into play the ideas that these satellite marginal fields will be developed, and including such areas as West Sac, the Schrader Bluff area of the Milne Point. And there's also, as my information is correct, that there is heavy oil accumulations in the Benami Reserve in unit. That means that to get these types of reserve that they're talking about in that report, we're going to have bills such as this to be able to lift that heavy oil in these other marginal fields to get those types of reserves. And briefly, I'd like to echo the sentiments as put forth by the member from District 22 about the state of our economy right now. I know that well over 1,000 petroleum-related quality jobs have been lost to the state in the last 9 months. I personally oversaw the emptying of 50,000 square feet of office space in Anchorage in the last 6 months from Conoco and Marathon Oil. We've seen a further reduction of Alaska Pipeline and ARCO. Ladies and gentlemen, we are losing the employment and the investment of the petroleum industry unless we do something like this today. But in closing, let me just say, and for the record, what I call the sine qua non of this whole thing, but for this royalty reduction, investments in marginal fuels won't be made. And that's the whole rationale behind this bill. That's the half a loaf theory that the Representative Fairbanks rightly points out. And that's what we're looking for today. This investment won't take place unless there's a reduction. Granted, there's certain inherent risk, but this is a good piece of legislation. We've all worked hard on it, and I'd like to have your support on it. Thank you.
Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 207, Finance, amended House? Would members please proceed to vote? The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
35 yeas, 2 nays.
And so, committee substitute for House Bill 207 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on committee substitute for House Bill 207, Finance, amended, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. The clerk, please read the next item on the agenda.
CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 12, Resources by the Senate Resources Committee, relating to the United States Department of Agriculture Forest Service, relating to the United States Department of Agriculture Forest Service Strategic Plan, known as Reinvention of the Forest Service, and advocating that implementation of the plan by suspended pending congressional review and consultation with local governments. The House Special Committee on World Trade and State Federal Relations considered the resolution, recommending DuPass, Mulder, Phillips, and Barnes. No recommendation could be. The report was signed by Barnes' chairman. The Resources Committee considered the resolution, recommends it be replaced with House CS for Senate Joint Resolution 12, Resources, with the same title, recommending DuPass, Williams, Ogun, Osterman, Cott, and Green. The report was signed by Green co-chairman. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Brief at ease, Madam Speaker.
House stand at ease. Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Resource Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 12, Resources, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the House Resources Committee substitute is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
Yes, Madam Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Representative Davies, beginning page 3, lines 5 through 7.
Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 1.
There is objection. Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This legislation or this resolution, I think, is basically a reasonable request, and I would like to be able to support it. But in addition to a great deal of reasonable whereases and reasonable resolves that are in here, there's one on page 3 at these lines 5, 6, and 7 that I think is the kind of thing that we normally would kind of write down and then strike, and put in the wastebasket. This is the kind of thing that we would say to our friends, perhaps over a beer or something. But, Madam Speaker, I don't believe it's the stuff of serious resolutions and legislation. And as such, I think that it's actually insulting to the national government. It's if we really want these kinds of things to be taken seriously, we ought to put in what our complaint is, what our desires are, what we would like to see happen, and make the best case we can for that, but I don't believe that there's any place in these kinds of resolutions for what are essentially insults. So it's for that reason, Madam Speaker, that I urge that we remove this language and then proceed to adopt the resolution. Thank you.
Representative Williams.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Resource Committee amended this portion of the bill, changing the one relating to compensation for Forest Service personnel. The original language had tied the compensation to the Forest Service personnel to timber production. This was intended to send a message to the that the timber industry timber production is a critical mission of the Forest Service, and that because many people in Alaska depend on it for their livelihoods, the Forest Service has an obligation to provide steady supply of timber, which hasn't been done in my district, Madam Speaker. The House Resources Committee amended the language to direct a message that policymakers, instead of the Forest Service employees generally, this seemed more fair and more to the point. Madam Speaker, joint resolutions are such as one message. By definition, they are not laws. They do not establish policy. They send a message, the message that the resolution sends to Alaskans are tired of the federal government's cavalier treatment to the timber industry in southeast Alaska. The present language is strong, I admit, Madam Speaker, but strong language is called for when our people are unnecessarily deprived of their jobs. I urge this language and to be retained in this resource committee bill and vote against the amendment, Madam Speaker. I'd like to be reasonable and not insulting, Madam Speaker, like I mentioned earlier about the jobs that and the scare that goes on when the Forest Service isn't putting out the timber to so that our people can work. There is, right now, the Ketchikan Pulp Company is not running its pulp mill at full capacity because of lack of timber. It shut down the sawmill because of the lack of timber for the last 2 months. So I guess I would like to be reasonable. I wish that the Forest Service was reasonable. I hope it isn't insulting, but if it is, let them come to Ketchikan and southeast Alaska and tell them it isn't selling. I urge you to vote against this amendment.
Further debate? Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Late last night as I was reading through the packet, I came across this. I must have read it 10 times before I could try to get myself to accept that it wasn't just a joke. I did get a chance to see the sponsor from the other body of this resolution. He said that he didn't mind if it was taken out. He realized it wasn't serious. Madam Speaker, we're sending this message. The audience includes the Secretary of Agriculture, the Chief of the Forest Service, and we're saying the amount they're going to be paid, which I don't know. I assume I don't know if it's a compensation commission or whether Congress sets it, but the amount that they're paid and their cost of living allowance, which is a little bit specific. Obviously, cost of living allowance is part of compensation, as are other benefits, but that these are going to be based on how much timber gets produced out of the forest. Madam Speaker, I'm still not convinced it's not a joke. First of all, they are implementing laws that the members of this body have spoken on many times for multiple use of the forest. These are multiple use forests. That's the whole basis for Forest Service management. It would make no more sense to base it on timber than on fish production, which many of our citizens in the southeast depend upon and the rest of the state. Recreation production, which many of our citizens depend upon. And even if you're looking at timber production, you just can't be serious to make this connection. The biggest factor in timber production is the price of timber. What's going on in the worldwide market? The sales goes up and the activity goes up. When timber prices are high, it goes down when it's low. That should be the determination of how a member of the cabinet of the President of the United States gets their compensation. If there's any message we want to give off that we are either jokers or trying to be funny or a less than serious deliberative body, well, we can do that with this. If we're trying to say something low that's a serious statement, we got to do something a little different, because every other resolve statement in here is a serious one. There aren't any of them that are sort of tongue-in-cheek or suggesting things that are, you know, obviously unrealistic and obviously not going to happen. All the rest of them could have happened. They're based on reasonable public policy decisions which are being debated at this time. This one resolve just stands out as an attempt at humor, and I just think it's inappropriate in this resolution.
Further the debate, Representative Green.
Thank you, pardon me. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise to oppose this amendment and would reflect upon the comments that were made by my co-chairman in the Resources Committee. Things were told to us that things were bad at Southeast, and we could acknowledge that, and that they have artificially restricted timber harvest, and we could accept that. But Madam Speaker, my co-chairman arranged for a resources meeting to be held in Ketchikan. On the way down, we stopped off in Wrangell and talked to some of those people. In fact, I would dare say that many of the members of this body were addressed by a contingency from Wrangell about a month ago to explain just how serious things are in the timber industry, especially in Southeast, which is their stable economy. Now, we think things are bad in our cities. We think things are perhaps bad, and we've spent a good deal of debate on what we can do to help the oil industry. Madam Speaker, I have never seen such desolation as I see in Southeast with the restrictions on timber harvest. I mean, that doesn't sound like much until you see what's going on down there. There are allocations based on only 1% of the harvestable timber down there, 1% on a 100-year cycle of renewal, and yet there are restrictions, artificial restrictions, when at the hearing they were asked point blank to the manager, why are you restricting below the 1% of harvestable, about like 75% of that which was harvestable? And there was no good response. Madam Speaker, this is a rather cavalier statement to make in a resolution. I agree with that. But I think, as my co-chair said, it's time for that sort of thing. This is a demagogue run amok, and I think it's time that we join with our federal congressmen and our two state senators in making a very loud, noisy, obvious objection to these artificial restrictions in the livelihood and the well-being, not only of these people, but of the forest itself. To say, well, it's a multiple-use forest, therefore it'll cut the trees, allow them to die and drop, rather than harvesting 1% or less, is absurd, Madam Speaker. And I would strongly advise that we vote against this amendment and leave that obtuse, though it may be, statement in the joint resolution.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I always hear people talking about the timber production in their districts and so forth, and I appreciate my colleague from Ketchikan taking a lead on a lot of these issues. I don't think anybody could ever question where I come from in terms of support for the timber industry. But I, too, am going to vote for the amendment simply because I don't think it's necessary. I think that one statement. I think the resolution is very well drafted. It's meaningful. However, if I received a resolution like this, I think the one thing that would stand out was this one section. And I, too, do not feel that the sponsor of this resolution is going to be heartbroken if this particular thing is taken out, because what we're trying to do is to raise the awareness of the problems of the timber industry in Southeast. And without a doubt, nearly every single bit of timber production in Southeast is in my district. Now, there's a few mills in a few other people's district, but almost all of these jobs are in my district and are my people. So believe me, I recognize the importance of us trying to help the timber industry, and I certainly appreciate that. But I think just tying that, making a statement that the compensation for the new Secretary of Agriculture is somewhat ridiculous, because we all know that's not going to happen, first of all, and all it does is agitate people when we're trying to educate people. And our junior senator from Alaska, Senator Murkowski, is very pleased with the new Secretary of Agriculture. As a matter of fact, the Senator's committee, I believe, just recently issued a unanimous confirmation recommendation to the Senate for the new secretary because of his position on the timber industry, and Senator Murkowski feels that this secretary will be more attentive than the previous one, and I'm very encouraged by that. So I intend to support this resolution. I think the member from Ketchikan has done a good job on these particular issues, but just this one particular section I don't think is necessary, and I'd encourage members to vote yes.
Ready for the question? Representative Elton?
Speaker, I think the member from District 5 said a lot of what I wanted to say, so I'm just going to kind of sum up. I think the issues that we're dealing with in the Tongass Forest especially are very, very important issues. And I'm concerned that the language that we now have in here in this one resolve trivializes a very serious subject and is going to diminish the impact of this resolution. So I guess I would urge members to vote for the amendment. Also, Madam Speaker, I mean, we may even be setting a trend. I mean, this is the same kind of thing that could be applied to us, right? I mean, I'm not so sure that we win arguments when we sit down and we say, okay, your reimbursement is going to reflect our values. I mean, first of all, our values are very hard to ascertain. There are 60 members of us. Madam Speaker, I think this is a very good resolution. Just really concerned that the language, if we leave it in there, is going to trivialize it to the point where it's going to be ignored.
Further debate? Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just in wrapping up, well, I don't think I need to reiterate the substance of my argument here. It's been stated pretty well. I think that what's the most likely result of leaving this in here is that when whoever receives this resolution will focus on that and not on the real message. And so I really wish that we would support this amendment so that the resolution will be taken seriously when it's sent and received. And Madam Speaker, I just have to respond slightly to the the comments about the situation in Ketchikan and the manner in which the regional forester is dealing with that. You know, it is a hard situation down there, and I was on the Resources Committee and went to Ketchikan and listened to that, and I take seriously the concerns down there. But I don't believe that the regional forester is a demagogue. I think that the regional forester is between a rock and a hard spot. I think he's got some very difficult situations to deal with. I think he's got a policy that's coming from a Congress that perhaps doesn't understand the state of Alaska. But he's got a very clear legal framework within which he has to work. And he did answer the question directly, and maybe the representative from District 10 didn't like the answer that he got, but it's not accurate to say that he didn't answer the question. I won't go into the debate about, you know, the specific issue, but to my listening to that circumstance, that he was responsive. He did give an answer. Now, maybe that's not the answer we wanted to hear. So, I think that we have to understand, we have to walk a mile in the other person's moccasins. We have to understand a little bit where they're coming from if we're going to resolve some of these issues. And I think that these issues can be resolved. Like I say, I am very sympathetic to the situation down in Ketchikan. I think that we have to resolve the issue, though, by working through the process. And I think that we will get farther in respecting one another and sitting down at the table and trying to work through our differences than we will if we start hurling insults at one another. And unfortunately, Madam Speaker, this one resolve in this resolution is an insult. And it will just do more harm than good. So I really respectfully ask for the support of my colleagues in voting for this amendment so that we can all unanimously support the resolution. Thank you.
Further debate on amendment number one. Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number one? Would members please proceed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
18 yeas, 19 nays.
So amendment number one fails to pass the House. The resolution, does the clerk have further amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 12 Resources be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're into third reading. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
House CS for CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 12 Resources by the House Resources Committee relating to the United States Department of Agriculture Forest Service relating to the United States Department of Agriculture Forest Service strategic plan known as Reinvention of the Forest Service, and advocating that implementation of the plan be suspended pending congressional review and consultation with local governments.
Debate? Representative Williams?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. SJR 12 does not oppose the U.S. Forest Service Reinvention Plan. It asks the Secretary of Agriculture to suspend implementation to allow congressional review and consultation with local government. The plan, as written, would centralize the decision-making in Washington, D.C. President Clinton has issued an executive order calling for the enhancement of intergovernmental partnerships. Vice President Gore report on reinventing government stated goals included decentralizing decision-making powers and empowering state and local governments. The reinvention plan would close the U.S. Forest Service regional office here in Juneau and move operations to Portland. The Tongass ecosystem differs greatly from that of the Northwest. This JR 12 calls a true partnership meeting with the state's community, tribal governments, and the corporation in developing a revised plan. Ask for your support.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SJR 12 Resources? Would members please proceed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
32 yeas, 3 nays.
And so House Committee Substitute, SJR 12 has passed the House. The clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar. Representative Brown?
Thank you. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 207.
Notice of reconsideration on 207 has been given. Madam Clerk?
There are citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on House Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 12, Resources.
Reconsideration for SJR 12 has been given.
I move and ask unanimous consent the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations are approved. This brings us down to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business? Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 o'clock a.m. Thursday, April 20th.
Unfinished business.
Unfinished. Go ahead.
Any further unfinished business? Committee announcements. Good try. Representative Cott?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Labor and Commerce Committee will convene at 4:15 to take up marine pilotage and a host of labor contracts.
Further committee announcements. Representative Masick?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Today, the Special House Committee on International Trade and Tourism is having a presentation at 5 p.m. I encourage all members to attend. It'll be held in the Speaker's chambers. Thanks.
Further committee announcements. Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Judiciary Committee scheduled at 1 o'clock obviously didn't occur and won't occur, and the bills on the schedule will be rolled until Friday.
Representative Ivan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. CRA Committee meets tomorrow at 1 p.m. to hear House Bill 154, Regulatory Taking of Prior Property, and House Bill 294, Bidding for Village Water Sewer Facility.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Finance, which wasn't able to meet, will meet tonight at 8 o'clock. No, I'm kidding, actually. we won't be meeting today, but we do have an 8:30 in the morning meeting to go over the bills that are published. We'll reschedule the capital budget overview that wasn't available this afternoon for some other time. But we'll meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 in House Finance.
Further committee announcements? Other announcements? Special orders? Mr. Majority Leader, now.
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent. The House stand adjourned until 10 o'clock a.m., April 20th.
We're adjourned till 10 a.m. tomorrow.